You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Pacers look to extend their three-game winning streak Tuesday night as they took on the Los Angeles Clippers. Clippers were without their best player, Kawhi Leonard, but they had their other best player, Paul George, was there, the former Indiana Pacer. Pacers hung around most of the game into a late fourth quarter surge. While the Clippers outscored the team by 8, Pacers held just 18 in that fourth, propelled the Clippers past the Pacers. They were led by Paul George's 36 points and Marcus Morris's 22. For the Pacers, leading scorer is Malcolm Brogdon, who had 29 points. Caris LeVert had 26, and Domantas Sabonis had 20, as the Clippers beat the Pacers 126 to 115. Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman, at Austin Coast of this wonderful show. On today's podcast, I'm going to talk about what I liked and didn't like from the Pacers' loss to the Clippers, discuss the Pacers' place in the standings, and kind of where I see it going in the pivotal points. But first, we have to start with the news on the passing of Pacer legend Bobby Slick Leonard. I wrote a little bit of something on it, so I'm just going to read what I kind of have, and then we'll see what else I want to say. So, there's no one who embodies the spirit of Indiana basketball more than Bobby Leonard. As someone of a younger generation, I knew Slick, as he was affectionately called, as the colorful sidekick on Pacers radio. Whether listening to a full game or just catching the highlights on the way home from a game at Conseco, his boom baby catchphrase all but defines the Reggie Miller era for me. Little did Slick know, as basketball evolved into the modern era, he'd have to use that three-point catchphrase more and more. I can't claim to know or even have met Slick, but the man had an impressive resume. To me, he was a broadcaster first, but to others, he was a coach of the greatest era of Pacers basketball, or a leader of one Indiana University championship-winning teams. But most importantly, he was a father and husband. Slick and his wife, Nancy, rescued the Pacers from near financial collapse in its early years, and it's hard not to imagine that that was a turning point for the Pacers and Indiana history. If there are no Pacers, would there have been a Colts? Would there be Indianapolis as the self-proclaimed amateur sports capital of the world? We really can never know. I don't know the answer, but what I will know is that I will miss Slick and his commentary and his catchphrases, and Pacer basketball will just not be the same. I think the one thing about Slick that can't be overlooked is just the impact he had on this Pacers franchise. I don't think there's a single person who had more of an impact, right? So he goes back all the way to the ABA era. He was, he was a great coach. Three-time ABA champion. Probably the coach of the greatest ABA team that was the Pacers. It's unfortunate that he never really got a shot to coach a good NBA team, right? The Pacers were in financial disarray, as you could call it, during his first 4 years as a coach, and obviously he was then let go because the ABA-NBA merger kind of screwed the Pacers over a little bit just because they didn't have the money to field a competitive team. Luckily, he did return, obviously become a broadcaster. He is the most defining voice, of the Pacers radio era for me. I can remember games. You know, you drive to the stadium, you hear him and Mark Boyle kind of chatting up before the game, and then, you know, when you leave, you always get the little highlights from him, you know, his little phrases, whether it's a big three from Reggie Miller, or whether it was even going to the Paul George era, where Paul George did a big three or something. He was always kind of there at the little commentary. I can hear his voice now driving back in the car, kind of, 10-year-old me, half asleep, listening to the broadcast and just kind of enjoying hearing a different version of the game, right? You go to the game, you watch it, you see all the action, but then you kind of got to hear a different aspect of it from his highlights. By all accounts, he was a great man. He was just beloved by all the Pacers staff. If you haven't got a chance, I would go listen to Mark Boyle's 2.5 minutes on him, kind of moralizing him. It was just heart pounding. It was really just awesome to listen to. This is a man who just had such an impact on this city and on this franchise and on everything that's Indiana basketball. I said it earlier, but he is the embodiment of Indiana basketball, right? From Terre Haute, plays basketball at IU, becomes the Pacers coach. I mean, that is like everything. I mean, you almost think in some ways Larry Bird wishes he was him, right? Larry Bird was Terre Haute, or I guess French Lick, then played college in Terre Haute at Indiana State. And then obviously he played the Celtics, but and then came back to be an executive. But, you know, Slick was the guy almost I think Larry Bird wanted to be in some ways. But yeah, I mean, he was just, there's nothing bad there now that can be said about Slick Leonard. I mean, you go out there, he was just, he always brought so much joy to those broadcasts, and it was just, it's sad. I mean, I just, you know, I'm not always in Indianapolis as much as I'd like to be, but I can still remember now, last time I was at a game, oh, I think it's probably been about a year and a half, I guess kind of pre-COVID, I was at a game, I think it was around Thanksgiving time, and I can remember driving back with my dad, and he just got like 1070 on, or 107.5, whatever it is now, and you could just kind of hear Slick with his highlights. You know, the boom baby three. I remember Aaron Holiday hit a big three in that game, and I can hear that right now where Mark Boyle goes and Aaron Holiday hits a three from top of the key, and you just hear Slick go boom baby, and it's just, that's like ingrained in my mind, and that catchphrase is one of the best. I mean, it is the definition of Pacer basketball, because obviously Reggie Miller was the first kind of high volume 3-point shooter, and little did Slick know that there would be teams taking, you know, 50 threes a game by the time his broadcast career came to an end, but there's not much else I can say. He is just, he's a legend in Pacers basketball, and he will forever be a legend, and all I can do is give my thoughts and prayers and condolences to the family, because I can't imagine what they're going through right now. Tough to lose. I mean, somebody who we all consider a legend and, you know, a voice of, you know, somebody we recognize, they lost a father and a husband, which is even tougher. So my condolences are out to the family. And I'm sure there'll be more stuff memorializing Slick. Obviously, he's got a banner in the rafters at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. But I'm sure there'll be more on him. But yeah, I just wanted to come on and say something about him, because there's not one guy that defines Pacer basketball of my childhood. Even in, you know, I'm only 23 and be 24 soon, that Slick Leonard in that radio broadcast, because he was the best. I'm gonna take a few moments of silence, and then we'll move on to the rest of the podcast. Today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by Michelob Ultra and our Ultra Player of the Week. Michelob Ultra is a 2.6 carbs, 95 calorie beer, and they don't just believe in winning the game, but they believe in enjoying the game. And someone who's enjoying himself right now over the last week, they got to give it to Malcolm Brogdon as a Player of the Week. So tonight against the Clippers, Brogdon put up a 29 points, 12 of 18 from the field. Against the Grizzlies on Sunday night, he scored also 29 points, but in a near triple double, 29, 11, and 9. Brogdon has been on a tear as of late, and he's, I'm sure, really enjoying playing basketball, just like you could enjoy a Michelob Ultra today. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? All right. So, the Pacers lost to the Clippers, 126 to 115. They seem to keep losing these games where they're given a break, right? Kawhi didn't play, which should be an opportunity for the Pacers. The Clippers are still a really good basketball team. Paul George is still a very good player, so you can't underrate that. But they seem like they had a shot, and they really did most of this game. I mean, they hung around most of the night. I think they trailed by, I want to say, 3 points heading into the fourth quarter. So this was one of those, again, a real game. But then they went cold as shit. And then that fourth quarter, scored just 18 points. Again, another under 20-point quarter. It's frustrating. I mean, this team could not make a three. I mean, it was like maybe one of the worst three-point performances I've seen from this team this year, although that's probably hard to say because they've had a lot of bad ones. They're 9 of 40 from three. But it was a rough game. I mean, they couldn't really stop George. George got pretty much anything he wanted, and when he didn't, he was able to find other guys. I mean, Marcus Morris shooting basically 75% is probably what killed him ultimately. I mean, obviously, he's been a pretty good player this year, but, I mean, you look at his, like, overall stats here, right? Morris is a 40, I guess right now he's a 46% three-point shooter. He shot 100% tonight from 3 to 3 of 3. In general, he's a 37 career three-point shooter, right? So if he's near Morris' career average, they're in this game, right? He makes only 1 3, and they're only, all of a sudden, an 11-point game is a 5-point game. But they didn't really have an answer. They just didn't have an answer for much. I mean, they basically tried to go toe-to-toe offensively, and they did that for a while, and they just kind of ran out of gas ultimately. What I did like particularly is that we're starting to kind of see this form, a three-headed monster of kind of Karras, Brogdon, and Sabonis, which is interesting because we just see what happens when they get Warren back and how that works. But LeVert's starting to get more comfortable. He didn't have a great shooting night, but he did a nice job trying to drive and draw fouls. He went to the line 13 times and made 11 free throws, which is really good. I mean, they just don't really have a guy right now who can draw that kind of contact. Sabonis should be the guy to do that, but doesn't get good foul calls half the time. And he's sometimes a little bit like too herky-jerky around the rim, maybe is the right way to put it, where he probably does get fouled, but they won't call it because he's 7 feet tall. And then so he misses a bunch of easy kind of layups because he gets whacked all the time. But those three guys had an amazing night. I mean, they combined for, if I did the math real fast, 75 pitched 115. I mean, if they combine for 75, you should win the game. But they don't have another guy. McConnell scored 13, but the rest of the bench, again, Aaron Holiday with 7, Lamb with just 3 points. McDermott didn't score, either did Goga. I mean, and then you had, 7 from Sumner and 8 from Justin Holiday. I mean, they just don't have the depth, frankly, right now. It's really kind of odd how critical Warren is to this team. I mean, I knew he was an important piece, but I mean, he clearly is sort of somebody who clears up the offense in a way, and he's another tall body that can guard guys like Morris, guys like George, who they just don't have. And it's I say this on almost every podcast, but it's frustrating to watch this team without him. It's kind of weird because I feel like they're kind of wasting a Brogdon season, right? Brogdon's having by far a career season. I mean, he's up to like 21.5 points per game and shooting 46 from the field, 40 from three, and 86 from the line. I mean, Brogdon's having like, by all means, a career season, a career best season, like a breakout. Like when you look back at Brogdon's career, this would be maybe his peak. I mean, he'll be 29 next year, so he'll probably have another, hopefully, year or two of this, but he's been relatively healthy, right? He missed a 2 or 3 game stretch last week, but like has nothing major. He'll end up playing probably around 65 games a season, which is a pretty good number for him considering his kind of past injury history. And just feel like they're kind of wasting it a little bit. Sabonis in a similar way, although Sabonis has kind of come back down to earth recently. He was, I think closer to like 22 points a game. Now he's under 20 and he's shooting okay. I mean, maybe Sabonis, I think it's just, he's going to keep developing his 3-point shot. Tonight against the Clippers, he ended up going 1 of 4 from three. And I think he'll just get slightly better, right? If he can become, he's 30% this season on 2.5 attempts versus last year. I think he took like all of, one attempt and made 25%. So I think he'll get better at the 3-point shot. And that's kind of the next step for him. If he can become a somewhat reliable 3-point shooter, which he has a pretty good stroke, right? It's not like he looks clunky shooting three. He's got a very good, jump shot motion. That's kind of his next level. But it feels like this team right now is kind of going through the motions. They realize they don't really have a ton of potential to make a deep playoff run, and they just like are almost trying to sort things out, right? They're trying to figure out what the hierarchy is, right? Is it Brogdon? Is it LeVert? How do they work together? And maybe that's good, right? Maybe we'll look back after next season that, you see LeVert and Brogdon, and they kind of piece together how to work out, and they just kind of fit Warren in, because I think Warren, out of any of the Pacers players, kind of can just fit in because he can run a lot of ISOs, and he can just kind of play off the ball a lot, and he's not a heavy passer, so he's not somebody who's like needing to read the defense and make the right reads. He's mainly a guy who has the ball and scores. And so hopefully they can work out some of the kinks with LeVert right now, and they can just kind of slot Warren in next year and make this kind of thing work. But it's right now it's kind of more of a figuring it out for next year kind of thing. And they need to figure out this bench ultimately, right? So you've had McConnell, who's been playing great. Another guy having a career season. Then McDermott up and down, right? So at one point I would say, oh, McDermott's on his pace to being paid like an ungodly amount of money. I mean, he's a free agent, so like somewhere above $12 million. Now, he's probably going to get paid under 10. I mean, he's shooting 38%. Three, he was doing a really good job just scoring around the rim and not being just a one-dimensional player. Hasn't been that player of late, just kind of been an player so far. I don't know if it's a slump or whatnot. Aaron Holiday, really, up and down to be generous. Down mainly and then a couple ups. He's looked like a slightly better. I don't know. I feel like he looked better tonight, but I mean, look at the end of it, he was a minus 17. It wasn't that great defensively. He just wasn't very good. And Jeremy Lamb has been, if he can't make his shots, he was 0 for 4. He's pretty much useless because he can't really play very good defense. So they don't, just because they get Warren back, get the move, you know, Holiday and Sumner eventually back to the bench because Afton will be healthy too, doesn't really solve their problems. I mean, Holiday certainly helps the bench. I think Holiday as a bench player, a guy playing 25 minutes is like a ton more effective than a guy playing 33, but they need to figure out this bench and what they want out of it, who they want to bring back next year. I mean, I could see them saying basically re-sign McClellan to probably $8 to $10 million and then nobody else. I mean, they'll have, you know, Lamb will see McClellan, but and so will Holiday, but maybe they'll make some moves, try to trade them, piece them together for another asset or whatnot, because maybe, you obviously have Goga will stay because, you know, young guy developing, but the chance is none that, you know, between McDermott, Holiday, and Lamb, that they try to move off all three in some way, because I don't know, they just probably McDermott could return if they get a reasonable deal, but if he gets overpaid, they're not going to overpay McDermott considering the way he's played of late, right? I mean, you have to overpay somewhat for shooting, which they already did, but like McDermott makes 12 million a year, that's just like it's outside their range, and I don't know, maybe he'll get that kind of contract. Who knows? In the NBA nowadays, that, you know, shooting really gets paid, so it's hard to find. But yeah, they just need that. The bench really needs to be sorted out at some point, because it just it's been the most disappointing thing of this team, and it's kind of dragging them down. It's just the fact that they just don't have a bench. Other things from the game, really. I mean, obviously they lost this game. You're going to be shocked to hear this, but they lost it with rebounding, right? The Pacers had a total of 42 rebounds to the Celtics, the Clippers 48, and they got outshot from 3-point range, right? The Pacers made just 9 threes on 40 attempts, while the Clippers made 13 on 28 attempts. I mean, that will pretty much do it. The fact that the Clippers were just lights out from three all night kind of would seal this game. And the fact that they're in this game, I think, is kind of a surprise in some ways. It's never surprising the team is in this game, in the games this season, because they've been in every single game. It feels like they've lost every single one where they've against a good team. But I don't know. I stop being like frustrated when the team loses a game like this and just kind of try to take the positive angle, because it can really go down a deep rabbit hole and a deep kind of depressing hole if you just say, oh my God, they keep losing game after game, where they looked good for three quarters tonight. So they're just missing that fourth quarter piece again. I don't know if they'll find it this season, but this team is not that far away, right? They're closer to being competitive than they are to being completely uncompetitive, in my opinion. So you can take that for what it is. Let's do this. Let's take one more break, and then we'll check in on the Pacers standings. But first, today's episode of the Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar has been a sponsor of this podcast for a long time now. They are the great tasting protein bar company that makes, I don't know how many flavors it is now, of these protein bars covered 100% in chocolate. They're great for somebody trying to be healthy conscious, or if you're trying to lose or maintain weight. They're a perfect little snack. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, and high in protein. They're great for the keto diet. My favorite one, the peanut butter brownie one, obviously has 19 grams of protein, 180 calories. I can't rave enough about these protein bars. They taste delicious. I've gotten a bunch of samples. I love them. You guys should try them right now. If you go to builtbar.com, your promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, you get 15% off your next order. Your promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. And we are also brought to you by betonline.ag. Betonline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to place all your sports action. Football is long over, so is college basketball. But the NBA, NHL, MLB are in full swing right now. And betonline.ag, even as you cover things like awards, TV shows, and reality TV, they have real-time updated odds on and props on almost anything you can imagine. You know me, I'm a big futures guy. I got 17-1 on the Jazz right now to win the championship. I made that bet maybe 2 months ago. Looking good right now. They're the best team in the league right now, it seems like, record-wise at least. And betonline.ag is covered for all those kind of props. They have you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That means you put $100 down, they'll give you a 50% welcome bonus. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So, as I'm recording this podcast on after midnight on April 14th, the Pacers are 25-28, sitting firmly in the ninth spot in the East. That's enough to get in the play-in game. They are two back of the Knicks and a solid three games back of the five-seeded Heat and four games back of the four-seeded Hawks. To me, it's five or bust. Right? So if they're anything outside the five, they're going to lose in the first round. Unless something crazy happens, right? I guess the Bucks may not be as good as we think. Maybe Giannis gets hurt at the inopportune time, but the Bucks are... I mean, the East has, obviously has a clear delineation between the top three and the rest. But basically, if they're not the five seed, I'd rather them be the 7, 8, 9, or 10, because at least then maybe they could lose a playing game and get a better... or a better chance at a lottery pick, right? I mean, right now they get a first-round match with the Bulls in a playing game. If they won that, then they would play the loser of Hornets-Knicks. Could they win that game? I mean, they could win both those games theoretically. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it went either way. They're too high up in the standings to tank, right? So they sit 5 games ahead of the 11-seeded Raptors, and we are down to, what, 19 games left, it looks like? Yeah, 19 games. So you really, 5 games over 19 games is not possible. I mean, yes, it is theoretically, but it's pretty hard. I mean, they'd have to really, really lose a lot of games, and the Raptors still might lose a lot of games, and it might not matter. They said 3 ahead of the Bulls, who are the 10 seed. But I believe it doesn't matter, 9 or 10, because obviously you lose a playing game. That's it. I mean, I guess it's come out for home. You know, right? You're playing that playing game at home, but they're 3 ahead of the Bulls. That's doable, more doable than obviously the Raptors, but not like the easiest. I mean, to be honest, I'm not supposed to be able to get up even to that 5 seed. I mean, they would have to go on a run here, right? I mean, they play the Jazz on Friday, which will be a tough game, and they play tomorrow. They end up playing the Rockets, so that should be an easy win, you would call it, I don't know what you want to call it, but they should have a shot at that, let's say. So let's say they finish the week 2-2. They play Houston Wednesday, Utah Friday, like I said, and then Atlanta Saturday. So they go 2-2. They'll finish the week with a record of 27-29. They've also gained a game on Atlanta, who sits at the 4 seed. So let's say they're 3 back. Do they have a shot at getting a top 4 or 5 seed? Sure. Do I think they'll do it? I'm very, very skeptical of it, unfortunately. I just don't think this team can piece together enough good wins. I mean, they can piece together some wins, right? I mean, they did win 3 in a row. And maybe they can pull off, you know, a 5 or 6 game win streak. And maybe they'll make a push. I mean, there's a chance, you know, they could beat Atlanta, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Detroit, Orlando, 5 in a row. Maybe they upset Portland at home. Probably won't beat Brooklyn, but then they play Oklahoma City, Washington, and Sacramento. I mean, there's a chance they could, you know, in their last, like I said, their 19 games, if they could go 15-4 or something insane like that. If they did that, of course, they would probably be able to shoot their way up to a top 4 seed, but they lose too many games to teams that they should beat, you know, look, i.e. 2 weeks ago, for me to think that. But I don't want to say never. I think to kind of sum this up and kind of defend the show, there is a chance. Schedule gets very easy. They could go on a real run because the end of season push. And if they win on, you know, go on a nice, not even a win streak, but let's say they win, you know, 12 of 16 to end the season, something crazy like that, they could be the hot team going into the playoffs. And, you know, I don't think they need home court advantage to win a first series. If they're in that 4 or 5 game, they have a shot. You know, if Miami ends up being the 4 seed, although right now I think Atlanta's going to be, if Miami is the 4 seed, they probably have less of a shot. But Miami has not been consistent this year either. Miami could easily fall outside that 5 seed. I mean, they've been so up and down as well. So, really, Atlanta's finally figured it out. But from 5 to basically 9 to 10, I mean, it's a bunch of inconsistent teams. It basically could be any of those spots. I mean, I think you talk to any one of those teams from Miami, Boston, Charlotte, New York, Pacers, Bulls, all of them would say they think their team could be the 5 seed or they could be the 9 seed just because they've all had kind of up and down seasons. So there's certainly outside looking in right now, but there is a chance. I'm here to say there is a chance to get to the top 5, and that is the goal, right? Get to the 5 seed and win a first round playoff series. They haven't done that in 7 years now, I think, right? 2013, 14. So I would love to see a first round playoff series win. I think to do that, they have to be in the top 5 seed. So we'll see what happens. Like I said, they play the Rockets tomorrow. We previewed that game on our Monday show, so check that out. They've already played the Rockets once. The Rockets are one of the worst teams in the league. So hopefully they win. I will have tomorrow's breakdown of that game. Hopefully with something positive to talk about. Maybe they'll have a very good game. Maybe we'll see somebody score 30-plus points. I can see it happening. Then Thursday. Or I'm sorry, that is Thursday. Then Friday, Tony will have a show previewing the Jazz game, which is at a weird time, 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Central Time. So very early afternoon game. Maybe get off work for a day or just have it on in the background because, you know, are from home mainly, or some of us are, or you can put on your monitor at work. But yeah, we'll have a preview of that, and then Tony will be back next week doing our weekly show, obviously on Monday. As always, you can follow this podcast at Locked Up Pacers on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter from Madam 5. My co-host Tony's at TEastNBA. That is all for today's Locked On Pacers podcast. We'll see you guys again.